Oh, yeah, hey man, it's Raven. Hello?
Hey.
Hey man, what's up? Yeah, I decided to reconnect because okay, I wanted to ask you, because I know a lot of this has to do with demonic shit, because I mean, I've just been going through a whole lot of things, like a whole lot of things. Okay, recently at the shelter, while I was lying in the bed, I had came from a day where I felt extremely like triumphant because everything was just going my way, everything that I wanted. So, suffice it to say, I tried to call a friend of mine who has like a business deal, a business proposition he wanted to do with me. And make a long story short, before then I had spoke with this guy who I know is fucking demonically possessed. Like the shit that's around him is fucking with his income. I can hear him over the phone, like physically when he battles with these things, and I'll really fuck him up and everything. And so the last time I've dealt with those entities of his, because I tried to do like an exorcism on him and stuff or whatever, he I remember, I guess one of his entities came out. I call it the Shushan entity. I also heard a similar entity at the old place where I used to live at. And like in one instance, when I was trying to get on my iPad and stuff and do a reading, you know how like, okay, you have like word suggestion and all on iPads. Without me even typing a fucking key, all of a sudden the word sh came on, like telling me to sh and not help him.
The word shush.
Yes, that came on the keypad. Okay, and so fast forward. Okay, while I was lying in my bunk, again, I could barely sleep because, you know, when I did go to sleep, I was very overjoyed about things, like really, really happy, but I didn't have anything else to do, so I just went to sleep. Because I tried to call my, you know, friend about the business offer and all, and he wasn't, for some strange reason, picking up. I wouldn't doubt if it had something to do with the guy whose demons I was trying to exorcise. I wouldn't doubt if it had something to do with the entities getting involved in that shit. Now, to make a long story short, while I was lying on the bunk at the top, you know, I couldn't sleep really. I kept going in and out of consciousness. Now, mind you, I was totally lucid, hadn't been drinking, none of that. So at one point, I had. And I think my eyes were closed too at the same time. A false awakening where they had a guy by the bedside, my bedside, and he was putting what appeared to be like a triangular like thing on my legs, like what you used to entomb legs in. But it he you know he wasn't successful with putting it on. He didn't, but he had it like out there like he was about to. And I remember the girls in the shelter going like, "Ooh, you're not supposed to touch the girls." And at one point he had reached over my legs, but the strange thing about it is I didn't feel anything. And when he reached over, it seemed like near the buttocks area and stuff, but still, the whole time I felt like I didn't feel anything. And it felt like my eyes were closed. And so at one point, I struggled to open up my eyes because at one point it went to a scene where there was like a blackout. So I opened up my eyes at one point, barely, and I noticed that he wasn't there. Do you think that, and then the whole time too, while I was sleeping, going back and forth into consciousness, I kept hearing something go, shh, shh, that entity. What do you think that is? Do you think that that might have happened? Or, because like when I came to, a lot of these women, like they're not strong like I am. A lot of them are broken in spirit, so they're easy to possess. And when I asked some of them about it, they were like, "Oh no, nothing happened." But the way they, huh?
Can I ask you, have you been doing readings for people at the
No,
shelter?
I don't. No, hell no. Stay away from that. But I'm not shocked if
Okay.
something from my old apartment followed me. Do you think that what I experienced, that do you think that was real, like a demon taking on
Yeah.
their form just to fuck with me?
Yeah. And I don't think it was really to mess with you. What I think he's doing is he's trying to get you to be quiet. And either...
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that that was... that? Do you think that that actually took place in real time? Do you think that that was a human? Or do you think that that was a demon taking on that form just so to fuck with me? Because of past experiences. Which one do you think it is?
It's not that he is not. I think it's a demon, but it's not that he's messing with you because of past experiences. You know, that can always happen. I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to get you to be quiet, because, like you said, you were euphoric, you were feeling good, you know, and you were expressing that. You know, maybe through postings or things like that, or things you...
No. Here's the thing. Okay, they have a guy who's possessed, and I tried to work on him to get it out of him. And every time I try to work on him, there's this entity that seems like it crosses over and goes, shh, shh.
Yeah, he doesn't want you. He, you know, that's... The guy that you're trying to do the exorcism on,
mm-hmm.
basically, he's possessed. Okay, that's the reason why you're doing exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
He's possessed. Okay, that person is his.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't want to give up that person. So when you're sitting there and you know you're performing the exorcism or you're doing the rites of exorcism, okay, that entity wants you to be quiet. That's what I'm telling you. He wants you to be quiet. He doesn't want you saying anything. He doesn't want you praying over anything. He doesn't want you casting this. He doesn't want you casting him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So, do you think he could have took on the form of that guy? Because I mean, okay, if they have to change the beds, they use like a rectangular thing by which to do that. I don't think them things have zippers on them and stuff. It looked like the thing that he had probably had a zipper. But the thing is that because. I mean, whatever demon it is, it knows that I have triggers. Like, you know, I don't feel comfortable, you know, especially given the situation I just came from with that other guy, that, you know, sick ass dude who attacked me, you know, after sexually harassing me for quite some time.
Well, I did tell you that was probably going to happen at some point.
Yeah, I knew. I felt like I knew that that was inevitable and I knew I would land here. But I almost feel like that demon, knowing that I'm bothered by stuff like that, I wonder, because it seemed like when that whole thing, okay, let me try to articulate it as best as I can. All right, I was between, it seemed like, I don't think my eyes were open, but it seemed like I was between that state of waking consciousness and sleep, but my eyes, I swear my eyes weren't open. That's the only thing that got me
through. Twilight sleep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I remember at the time, that the guy there, it was like a black dude was hoovering over me, and he was trying to put, like, I guess you could say, like a sheet or something that was triangular. Now the beds here, if he wanted to change the beds here are rectangular. They're not triangular, of course, you know, and I don't see why he would, you know, use a sheet like that. But anyways, it seemed like he was going to put it on my leg. And it felt like at one point, I think my feet did go inside. And whatever is around me, the demon and stuff that doesn't want me to help with the exorcism, it knows my pet peeves and the fact I don't like people touching me, especially like that, especially when I'm sleeping, because I get very nervous because of PTSD, past experiences. And I remember very vividly in the state, like the girls in the other bunks going, "Ooh, you're not supposed to touch the girls." And that's a trigger for me. Then all of a sudden, it felt like, I don't think I had my eyes open at the time, but at one point I remember wrestling to open up my eyes and I didn't see him there. So, I mean, do you think that that was real? Do you think somebody was actually doing that, or do you think that was a demon? That's what I'm trying
No,
to.
that can very much be a demon. A demon can appear
No, okay.
and be, you know, be
I mean, what does it sound like to you? What
polymath.
does what does it sound like to you? Do you think that it's a demon that knows my hidden fears and decide to manifest like that because it knows my thing about, you know, especially guys touching me when I'm sleeping, unless it's somebody I'm intimate with. There's a difference.
This is exactly it. It knows your pet peeves. It wants to piss you off. It wants you to go away. You know, it wants to be left alone.
In the whole,
when it does, when something wants to be left alone, okay, and, you know, these are one of the things that you have to, you know, real. When people want to be left alone and they don't want to be bothered, they do things to you to piss you off. And, you know, when you get pissed off, you know, you don't want to be pissed off. You don't want to be around that person. You go away from him. And that's what he wants. He's trying to do things to you to piss you off.
Now, here's the thing. When I came to, when I finally woke up at some point later on in the day, when I asked some of the women around there if they saw anything, their facial expression kind of gave away that they did see something, but they weren't going to say. I did have a woman say, you know, that she overheard a guy, you know, she overheard the women say, oh, there's a woman under there. There's a woman underneath. But I remember that taking place, and that didn't, that doesn't apply to me. That didn't apply to me. And that was involving an older black male. The one who I saw in that false awakening, it was a young black kid. And I don't think he was, you know, because I remember them, you know, mentioning somebody coming, you know, into.
You could have, you probably could have had something that bled into your dreams, or, you know, you could have had a moment of clairvoyance.
Oh, clairvoyance!
But
like,
if you ask me, you know, like I said, when you were, you know, trying to perform an exorcism on this guy, okay, whatever has a hold of him does not want you around.
Yeah, no, I could tell that.
Piss you off so that you go away, you leave him alone, and everything else.
Right. And let me ask. And let me ask you another question. You know, because I'm going through all of this demonic ass shit. I'm staying away from that shit because, to me, the way I look at it is, there's no point in worshiping all of that. And I see a black cat. A black cat just manifested, but out the blue, now it's walking away as soon as I acknowledged it. I just think it's very funny. To make a long story.
Well, you're under attack. You're under spiritual attack right now.
I know. I can tell that from a mile away. That's why I'm like, certain areas I can't be in, you know, because I can pick up on that energy, and that energy is very strong. And I don't doubt that I might be under some type of mild possession as well, you know, because when I've tried to extricate whatever's in me and stuff, it's, you know, kind of suffice it to say, it's pretty hard, you know, to say the least. But going back to what I was saying before, to make a long story short, you know, I mean, I've been getting like a lot of these detractors on YouTube. I had this one other person come on and say, oh, you ought to get like a regular, you know, job, and you ought to do this, and you ought to be part of the matrix. See, my strength lies in the fact that I'm not part of the matrix, because you become part of the matrix in a sense, and in many ways, they can get you to conform and stop telling you truths. As a matter of fact, I lost a lot of my jobs because, not while on a job, but like if talking with coworkers, I don't talk about no stupid shit. I talk about deep topics. Next thing I know, like if I talk about the Illuminati or something, I lose my job. I'm not the type of person to hold back. And I also call out injustice as well. I don't care how big that person is. I confront them. I'll speak up and say my piece. I don't hold back. And, you know, I'll get physically sick if I don't say something, really. That's why I have to express myself. And so, you know, most people aren't like that. That's why I can't hold down a job. And in some capacity, I have to work for myself. And so I've been noticing, like, a lot of these people have been coming on and trying to absorb me into the matrix, into the system, and get me to become dependent by getting me to be a little soldier, a little robot, and change who I am. And not be the person that I'm required to be to deliver the message that I came here to earth to deliver. I don't think, I know I'm not evil. That's why I have a problem when, you know, people who are so-called spiritual workers, a lot of them 9 times out of 10 got demons in them like a motherfucker. They tell me, oh, over the phone, I hear demons on your part and I hear demons and I hear evil stuff around you.
Well, you have to be careful of people like that.
Yeah, I think it's projection.
Yeah.
That's what another lady.
You kind of just listen to them and you go, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of, you know, like dust on your shoulder, you know, you just brush it off.
Yeah, the sense that I get with a lot of those people is that they're demonic, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to, it's kind of like when you victimize somebody, right, and you turn around and you say that they're victimizing you. That's exactly what they're doing, and I feel like they're doing it on orders of whatever dark forces, dark entities are around them at the time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they're fighting, and they're fighting like hell. And they're fighting like hell.
Exactly.
You know, if you step out of the matrix, they're fighting like hell to keep you in it.
Right. So exactly.
They're going to come at you, you know, all kinds of, and remember, you know, the last time we talked, you know, it's all, you know, it's all, the things that are happening to you are designed to break your spirit.
And it's not happening. And in one instance, I had,
they'll come at you, know, you know, I'm going to tell you, be ready because they're going to come at you even harder. And see, what they've done so far hasn't worked. Okay. So they're going to come at you. They're going to come at you harder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether they give up or not, you know, who knows? You know, all I can do is tell you, you know, pray harder, but they're going to come at you harder.
Yeah, I mean, because it's
just... You ain't seen nothing yet. Like I said, it's to break your spirit, you know, until you get to that point one day, you know, when you are in a weak emotional moment and you just utter the words, okay, I give up.
Mm-hmm. All right,
you win. You win. What do you want? And, yeah, we got her. We got her back. You know, so.
And when you say they got me back, what do you mean?
They got you back. See, we're all, you know.
Like recruiting?
We're all, yeah, you know, they're always after us.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that great spiritual war, you know, between good and evil.
Right.
And it's always been, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you live in a world, as I do, that, you know, it's not a very pleasant world.
No, it's not.
Okay. And I can tell you, there's a lot of evil that goes on in this world, from theft to murder to lying to covetedness to, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, as long as they can keep you in that matrix, and they can keep you in the midst, okay?
Right.
And, you know, when it's like, you know, it's like they used to say, you know, propagandists, you know, we're going to push our ideas, we're going to push, you know, what we want, we're going to take over the narrative, and we're the ones who are going to dictate what goes and what's said and what's done, and we're going to tell them how to think, and we're going to tell them how to do it. And anybody that stands up against that, we will hammer them down like a nail sticking up out of the floor.
Right.
Okay? And every so often, you get those people who, you know, are the nails that stick up out of the floor, and they come after them.
Mm-hmm.
And they hammer, and they hammer, and they hammer, and they hammer, and they wear on them, and they hammer, and they wear on them. You know, like I said, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, you can only do so much, you can only take so much, you know, and they keep, like I said, that's what I said, you know, they ain't going to necessarily give up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to keep coming with more, so, you know, one week you'll have a victory, and the next week you'll have a, it's exactly
like what I felt today. Like, I felt victorious. And then when I went to sleep and after that episode, like I said, I mean, they had me in a state where I'm like, did this really happen? Because I get very nervous and pet peevish if, you know, especially a guy touches me. At one point, I don't know if this was a false awakening or not, but I remember he reached over my legs, like cross diagonal, like pretty much near my butt. But again, I didn't feel anything because I figure if I'm a, wouldn't I have felt something?
Well, you have to remember that you're dealing with the supernatural. You're
right.
Dealing with the spiritual.
Right.
Okay.
And why did those girls give me those facial expressions like something did go on? Because I do remember at some point, you know, waking up, but I had my head up.
There's probably, you know, I'll be honest with you, there's probably, you know, you have, like you said, you have a lot of weak women that, you know, or, you know, that are there in that shelter.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And their spirits are broken.
And they are compromised. And yes, their spirits are broken. And like I said, I wouldn't doubt that you have some entity there, you know.
Yeah, I kept hearing that.
Because he's got a lot of, you know, he's got a lot to choose from. He's got a steady supply and he's got a fresh supply every
day. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes like at night when I hear them breathing, it doesn't sound like an ordinary breathing. It sounds like some of the stuff that came from my apartment, like the growling and so forth. It doesn't sound human, like they're using them as devices by which to communicate. And there's times like through the snoring and stuff, through the other women snoring, the other girl snoring, that is, I'll hear my name be called. And I know that's not, you know, I mean, I know I'm not fucking crazy. I mean, I don't even think crazy people are crazy. I think that they can see and hear into the unknown, but they don't know exactly what's going on. Thank goodness it's a good thing I have that level of consciousness to be able to understand what's going on. And the feeling that I get, sound weird already, me, the feeling that I get is like, you know, it's very weird. Like, I know that it's easy to use these ladies here as conduits by which they can get whatever it is their point across and use them in a sense of sacrifices. That's why I don't fuck with witchcraft, because a lot of times with witchcraft, it's like a pimp in the whole relationship, except it's spiritual. What happens is that these dark entities, these dark forces, they use the witch as a sacrifice. There's a reason why they call witches sacrifices and all. They take the witch's energy and in turn do these little spell castings, all these little favors for them. But really, that dark energy is taking their energy, the witch's energy, that is, by which to do those things. Just like a pimp will take a woman's money, all of her money, and then turn around and buy her little nice things in there, here and there, with her own money. Like he's doing her a favor. And that's the same thing with a lot of these witches. And I know that there's a lot of witches on YouTube who've been putting shit on me. But it's not like, you know, anything that could get inside of me. Now, you were saying something interesting. Do you think that I'm mildly possessed? I know I've been told I have a spirit attachment, but it's not in me.
Well, like I said, they can be around you, in
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
They can manifest themselves. You know, existentially, they can manifest themselves physically.
Mm-hmm.
They can manifest themselves, you know, you just kind of, people just black out.
Right.
You know, and not even, you know, and they're not, you know, their consciousness is not aware of it.
Right.
And they're doing actual physical things, and then, you know, they come across. You know, you don't remember doing this. You know, it's kind of like when like when a person who has a real serious alcohol problem.
Yes.
You know, and they go out and they drink.
Yes.
You know, and they do all kinds of stupid stuff. I mean, obnoxious stuff. Nobody.
And they
wants
don't
to
remember. They don't
uh-huh.
remember. Mm-hmm.
Same parallel there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Uh-huh.
That happens. But, you know, with you being there in that shelter, and like I said, and you have a lot of women there who, you know, are broken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and whatever it is, it sensed you. And like I said, it knows you're there. It knows what you're capable of and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it wants you to be quiet. It does not want you to say anything.
Uh-huh.
It does not. Basically, it does not want you to expose it.
Right.
Okay, so like I said, you are going to come under attack because it is going to do things to you that you hate, you know, in order to get you to leave it alone or to go away or whatever, you know, because right now you're a threat. And as long as you are a threat, okay, well, you know what people do when, you know, the threats are around.
Right.
Now, you know, I'm not telling you to, you know, bail from that shelter or anything, because, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, no, I don't
But
think
I'm
it has
just
anything to
telling
do with
you.
the shelter. It's just, it's always going to be
No.
around fucking with me. That's the
Yeah,
sense
so
that
I'm
I
just
get.
telling you that as long as you're there, you know, and like I said, you know, you're
Oh.
coming between it and its source of sustenance, so to say, so to
Now
speak.
that I think about it, I mean, the whole time I kept hearing it, something like when I was going between waking consciousness and sleep, I kept hearing something go, shh, shh. And I don't think that anybody there would be making that noise. It sounded like it was coming from that. It was coming from that. Because I can't see anybody making that noise. It was like during the daytime at this. And we would be going, shh, shh. I knew instinctively it was that thing. And I just felt like a pattern in my fucking heart, a pounding. You know, a weird thing in my heart.
It
Just.
wants you to be quiet. It's really worried. Yeah, it is worried about you, you know, telling somebody something. See, there's somebody in there walking around who, you know, maybe hasn't let it be known yet, you know, because, you know, they're worried that, you know, people are gonna think they're crazy or something like that, or they may be asked to leave. But if there's somebody in there, you know, who's they're sensitive also.
I actually just got through talking with her, and she goes through the same thing, except she says that the voices around her, they tell her to kill herself. In my case, whenever I hear stuff, it's always something calling my name, but I never respond.
Well, you got to remember, you know, the dark side always, what's the dark side's main purpose is to claim souls. So if this woman if she's hearing, you know, something that's telling her, oh, just kill yourself, just kill yourself. Okay. And let me ask you, this person who is just hearing this, is she on any type of medication?
No, she's not. She
Okay.
don't fuck with that
She's not
shit.
on any type of medication. So, you
No.
know, I would say, you know, she could have been an undiagnosed schizophrenic, but if she's not schizophrenic, okay, but she's hearing this voice that's telling her, kill herself, okay, and you're there and you can pick up on this stuff, you know, I would just tell you know, whoever that entity, he does not want you. If you spoke to her, he didn't want you talking to her either.
I think she might have like what they call like a negative spirit attachment because she says that she has like a bad effect upon people. And me personally, my philosophy about schizophrenia is I believe that what schizophrenics experience is real. But the problem is we live in a white controlled society and see white people's pineal glands, their third eyes are not open like people of colors tend to be. So as a result, they're closed off to our spiritual experiences that we have a tendency to experience. So with that said, schizophrenia is really another way of saying a person who's a possible shaman and they don't know how to control what's around them. It's more than likely something that carried over from a past life when they attempted to open up their chakras and stuff and they weren't successful. So
Well, like I said, it doesn't want you talking to her. It doesn't want you talking to that guy, because like I said, it does not want you to expose it. And if she's going around people and she's always saying that whenever people are around her, they have a negative experience, that's that entity putting those people under attack because it's
And going
trying to
after
make
her,
those
right?
people uncomfortable. And what do they do in turn? They stay away from it. Remember what I said. If it fears exposure, it is going to do things to make you stay away from it.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, like I said, before I went to bed, I felt like a fucking champion. I felt great. I was overwhelmed by how fucking good I felt because I'm like, good business deal might come through, you know, something I prefer and that I've been looking forward to for quite some time because I do the cards on myself. I don't, you know, go to tarot card readers and other people like that. I had somebody suggest to me to go to some spiritual advisor, but after my experiences, I don't trust that shit. I just really fucking don't. I feel like the best power lies within you, because the God self is in you. You know, when I say the God self, I mean your connection to the divine source. You don't need to go anywhere else or go to some jinn and shit and demons for that. You can go within yourself. And I'm learning that. But what I was going to say, have you ever felt any weird vibes from Miracle Mile? Anything weird?
Any weird vibes from where?
Miracle Mile.
Well, like I said, every time I come to Los Angeles, I don't, you know, like I'm sitting here tonight, I'm doing a detail for a buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't like coming to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
A lot of people love it here.
Are you in LA right now?
I'm in LA right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm over here at Santa Fe in Washington.
Oh, like downtown. That's like downtown down there. Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
I don't like coming here.
You know? Yeah, I can't blame you.
You know, and I told you how I felt about Los Angeles. You know, a lot of bad juju around here. You know, I don't like coming here.
I'm amenable to it. It's just certain areas, like MacArthur Park. I don't feel much spiritual energy. I think that the transformation that I'm going through at this current time, it's what they call death in the cocoon. And what happens is that before a caterpillar, as you know, becomes a beautiful butterfly, it has to go through the process of death. And it goes into a cocoon by which it spins the cocoon around itself. And then it emerges as a beautiful butterfly. I feel like that's what I'm going through right now because, hey, how you doing, my dear? Doing all right, beautiful. Because if it wanted me killed, you know, look at that other young lady who's going through it. If it wanted me killed, it would be telling me, Raven, die, die, die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, I mean, instead, like, the voices out here, this is unless, you know, I'm doing exorcisms. And usually I don't even hear them voices like that sometimes, like through certain things, but it's very faint. But out here, just my name called and that's about it. And I just don't respond. Or I'll hear certain things. Like I remember earlier I was doing something in the kitchen. And next thing I know, I heard something go like this. Shut up. But I just ignored it. I'm like, it's so faint. I can't even, you know, it's nothing that's too ruckus. You know, it's nothing too loud. You know, it's manageable. And I'm sorry.
It's enough to where you can hear it.
Mm-hmm. And it knows I can.
To it.
And I've always been able to hear stuff. I've always had what they call a gift of clairaudience. Especially if the lights are out and stuff, I can, you know, hear a lot of things. But it's not like intrusive, like, you know, so whatever it is that's around me, it's like it's trying to recruit, you know. That's why I think I've been getting like some of the comments on my YouTube channel from people who are going on. You know, one lady talked about what you're going through is the process of chaos. And in order for you to see the light, you have to go through darkness and chaos. And that sounds like some of Aleister Crowley shit, to be honest with you. He taught chaos magic. He did. And I called that shit out. I'm like, this is chaos magic. That's what you're telling me. That's what that shit is. You know,
Well, like I said, you have to.
That's some Luciferian shit. I'm like, yeah. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to recruit. I'm not fucking with that shit. Get off my channel with that.
Well, like I said, you know, when you have people that come, you kind of just wade through that stuff.
Mm. Damn.
Just wade through it. People are going to have all kinds of ideas about things and, you know, this, that, and the other. And you're going to, you know, push your stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just wade through it.
Right.
So all you need to do is just, you know, right now, just be concerned, not with telling you, you know, not to care. But just be concerned, you know, watch yourself, you know, watch yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and make sure that, you know, it doesn't catch you slipping. It doesn't get you, you know, it doesn't catch you.
Like I said, I think it attempted to do that shit earlier with that, you know, because I've had false awakenings when I was a kid, but that one was so fucking vivid. It was so vivid. I fought myself to open up my eye to see if what I saw was actually real. And like I say, no, because whoever it was a big guy. No way in hell he would have, you know, been out of there within the span of time in which I saw all of that take place and happen. And plus, I would have felt my legs move up. I feel like that's a demon that took that form so it could fuck with me mentally. That's my honest opinion. But it got me in such a state of mind that I'm unsure. But I strongly felt like it wasn't something real at the time. Like it was something from that realm, the demonic realm. Shit, I'm tired.
Hey, dude, get off my truck. Yeah, I know. Yeah, why don't you go over there? Get off my truck. Because I will beat your ass. I don't like being here anyway. So.
what truck do they have you in?
Oh, no, it's my personal truck. I have three cars, actually. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm driving one of my trucks tonight, you know, because I use it as my office.
Yeah.
And, I got this nut. He's over here, you know, going through his little fit.
They have you,
He wants to.
They have you work in detail? They have you work in detail or something? They have you work in detail for, like, undercover?
Yeah, I'm in plain clothes.
No, okay.
I'm sitting down here outside of a strip club, you know.
I just noticed something real quick. I thought I saw like a green light. That's why I had put it on the thing for like a little, for a hot minute. Honestly, your life sounds a lot more interesting than mine's. I know mine's is crazy, spiritually speaking, but yours sounds a lot more interesting to have you outside the way.
Every time I come to Los Angeles, I get a dose and then I go home. I usually sit home.
You know what
Sunday.
You need to do? And this is what I may need to do too. You ever heard about cleansing techniques and cleansing rituals?
I probably could use some.
Yeah, me too. I can use that shit royally.
You know what I do is I go home and I either do some gardening or I'll put on some jazz.
I want it.
I'll do like a sangria.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sit in my sangria and listen to my music all day. And I'm good.
Let me ask you a question because I'm kind of like confused about this. Okay, numerous spiritually inclined people told me that they noticed that I have a black shadow on my back, and sure enough, I feel pain in that area. Now, whenever I change something internally inside of myself, next thing I know, they say that the spirit changes color as well to adapt. Do you think that might be a part of me or something that's outside of me? Because why would the spirit attachment change color?
I will tell you for a fact that it's already been proven and they've already recorded and documented it, that people give off auras.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that person's mood is at that particular time, that aura comes off of them, and that aura changes colors also.
So do you think that the spirit attachment might really be a part of myself, or because do spirit attachments actually change? Spirit attachments are like outside entities that are not really originally a part of you, but something that, like an earthbound spirit or something that connected itself. So do you think that it's something that's not really a part of me, or do you think that it is?
Well, there are spirits that can attach themselves to you
But would they change color?
No, the color changing, that's you.
Okay.
That's you, because that is the emotion that you're feeling at the time, be it happy, sad, confused.
So does that mean
whatever.
That the spirit attachment is a part of me?
Well, spirits will attach themselves to you if there's something about you that attracts them. Let's say, like, if you're happy, or your capacity for love, or, you know, because that may have been something that they didn't get in life, or your capacity for happiness, you know, which that might be something that they didn't get in life, you know, or, you know, what have you.
Right.
So a spirit can attached to that. There's plenty of stories, you know, where you have certain families that move into homes and things like that, and spirits will, you know, they'll attach themselves or they'll appear only to the children.
Right. Yeah, that's true, because the children tend to be a lot more sensitive.
Yeah. And the children are more sensitive, but not only that, because the children are more sensitive, children, because, their mind is so open, usually, children will, they will interact
right
with, said spirit. I mean, they'll sit, talk to them, conversate with them, play games with them, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Because kids are a lot more open.
Kid that tells you, yeah, when you have a little kid that tells you about that imaginary friend.
That's real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have my imaginary friend, Sally. She doesn't like to come out of my room. She only likes to be in my room. But where does she live? Well, she lives in the closet, or she lives under my bed.
Was that a demon, or do you think that's a disincarnate spirit?
Well, it can be a spirit who hasn't passed on. I mean, remember, I told you how you can identify a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a spirit, or a demon, like I said, there's that smell of burnt sulfur.
Yeah, see, I've
you smell in the room.
It's strange because when I've smelled stuff, sometimes I've smelled like hot dogs, like a hot dog smell. So I'm thinking that's probably like a regular old spirit, maybe. Or it could be a demon.
Or it could be. Mm-hmm. Well, it could be a demon, or it could be a childlike spirit who, in life loved hot dogs.
I think it's a demon. So that won't be so.
Love hot dogs. But like I said, if it's a demon and it manifests, like I said, demons, they come from a very dark place. So, it'll be a very dark, manifestation when it happens, it'll be very dark in appearance when you see it, almost black.
Right.
Or gray,
Mm-hmm.
And you can't see through it, and that's a demon. And along
right.
with it, then there's that, the smell, that smell of burning sulfur with it.
Right.
Or decaying, rotting flesh, almost like that of, potatoes, who have, expired and gone past their time, that's what that is.
Right.
But when you have something that, like I said, this a family member that may have attached, there's a certain scent that, in life, a certain, you may smell like perfume, or you may smell like cigars, or you may smell like a certain cologne, or a certain soap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that because sometimes like demons, just like they can take the visage of like
all
different
right,
things.
Mom, you need me to move up?
Oh, oh, that's your coworkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they're telling. Yeah.
Good.
So you're sitting outside a strip club trying to make stains. I'm going to tell you something right now. Like, sex work is one of the worst industries, like, spiritually speaking, to be involved. Because you pick up so many entities via the vagina. I know. I don't like it either. I'm against it.
I hate this fucking place. I hate coming here. I don't mind doing it because, like I said, it's my friend. It's my friend Tommy. We serve together.
Mm-hmm.
And, he asked me, he says, basically, he'll be here. And, I'm just here just to, kind of back him up.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate coming here, because of my, this is just my personal opinion, and it's not that I'm holier thou or better than anyone else here.
Right.
They're just some fucking scumbags.
What?
I mean,
you sound like my dad.
And I'll be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand, and the women that the women that come with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see the lesbians that come in here.
A lot of lost, confused souls. A lot of lost, confused souls. With
yeah.
that. A lot of them become that way because of somebody doing something to them. It's a shame.
Well,
I see
they're in rebellion. They're in rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know what it is. They're in rebellion. But, I'll see people in here, like I said, on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm. That's sad.
They got
sad.
Kids, and this will be the day of their kid's birthday party, and they will be at the strip club first before they go to their own.
That's
birthday.
Because that's more than likely some type of demon that's on their ass that makes them.
Okay,
the thing I learned having dabbled in voodoo and Santeria is that they have what they call feeding the spirits, and so what you do is. These demons become a part of you. That's why I have a problem when these, so-called spiritual workers here on YouTube, point out flaws with me and say, oh, you got demons in you. I'm like, bitch, you got royal demons. You sitting up here, you fucking around with Oshun. You fucking with Baron Saturday, Baron Samadhi, who's the lord of death and voodoo. You fucking around with all that shit. That shit becomes a part of you. I can tell you that from personal experience. That's what was happening to me. I would take on his aura. Its spirit would become a part of me. And I would have the same influence that you think that the entity would. Like, for instance, when I was under Oshun, I attracted a lot of black women. They were very nice to me, not like sexually, but like they were very nice because she's known for that, for being a rescuer to black women. And she even appeared to me in a dreamscape, in a dream. And Baron Saturday, when I worshiped under him, now he's a fucking demon. When I worshiped under him, not only did I drink a lot of rum because he's known for drinking rum, but I also had a tendency to attract a lot of loose, what they would call loose white women, while at the same time repelling white guys, which was at the time bad for business. But it's funny. And it doubled my strength too when I fucking drunk, because I had him in me. So all of those people, they got demons in them. And a lot of times they have legions, and these demons take on the persona of whatever it is that they're worshiping at the time. I know that for a fact. They call them jinn in Islam. They can be good or bad, but I wouldn't want something outside of myself to become a part of me, because sooner or later, if you're not doing what it wants you to do, it could destroy you. That's where the whole feeding the spirits come into play. What people like that at them strip clubs, what they're doing is they have a heavy demon that they probably acquire from fucking a stripper or something, prostitute, that induces them to want to keep on going back and keep on going back. It's like a drug addiction. It's like an alcohol addiction. Whenever you fuck around with vices that make you feel good and take your mind off of things, or just make you feel good in general, period, it could take you over if you're a weak person. It could take you over if you let it in.
There are people that that come here every day of the week.
And that's pathetic.
There's a guy, there's a couple of them that I see that come in here, and they're here every, well, at least, you know, every weekend that I know of. I don't even know about during the week because I'm not here during the week. But every weekend that I know of. And it's like, you know, and I see, you know, and they're broken.
Yes,
broken,
they are.
Men. And they get out of here, and they just, you know, they come in here, and every, I said, you know, of all the places that you can go to get a drink, all the places, you know, I mean, all the liquor stores that you can walk into, if you just want to sit around and you know, you just want to drink beer or whatever, you know, you come here.
And buy them high-priced ass fucking alcoholic drinks. Yeah. Mind you, I never worked in a strip club because I can't dance worth the shit. It's not my cup of tea. But,
you know what? It's not even, you know, with these, I'll tell you, Rachel, it's so bad that it really doesn't matter if you can dance or not.
Yeah.
All you have to do, really, is get up on stage and bend over. And they're satisfied with that.
That's sad. That's some type of addiction. Huh? Oh, but I was going to say, that's very fucking sad. That's sad that they're addicted to shit like that. Like I say, that's some type of demon that's them taking them over and induces them. And it's probably like some type of earthbound spirit out there. I don't think it's anything strong. But see, when you go to them places, and especially if you're not protected and all, what can end up happening is that those things can attach themselves to you, because there's a lot of negative entities, and not just strip clubs, but clubs as well, that wait outside the door like hungry ass, lecherous ass lions, waiting to take that person over and manifest itself in that person's body so that it can induce that person to drink. You want me to get the door for you? All right, you're welcome, my dear. But induce the person to drink, or, you know, to do whatever it is that they did in their waking lives. A lot of those people, 9 times out of 10, I don't think it's really demonic more than it's earthbound spirits, a lot of whom don't want to depart from our realm. They're too stuck here. And they don't want to move on to the other side. And that's why it's important not to have an addiction while you're here. You cut that shit off if you can. You have to have the willpower to do it and find out the crux behind why you got addicted. And like a lot of people who I've talked to who have addictions and stuff and all, they'll tell you it's because it's entertaining. They don't even have a sad sob story to go through it, you know, to back it up. Like some people will take drugs because they're trying to get away from you know, some abusive memory or something, some horrible thing that happened. A lot of them were just, they're hooked onto the entertainment aspect of it. And that's what they're hooked onto. And it's like a constant need and rush for that 24/7 being able to stay in that mindset. I mean, I've never been, even while under demonic possession, because I don't know if it's the possession or spirit attachment influence. I think I'm too strong to get taken over like that. But even while under that, I would drink like every 3 days, and I would drink heavily and still remember stuff that would happen. I wasn't like knocked out cold or anything. And I had my drink of choice. It had to be Jack Daniels, nothing else. And Jack Daniels would keep me up, which is strange for an alcoholic beverage to do. And, you know, so I'm thinking that's more than likely lecherous ass earthbound spirits that latched on to those people and got them and induced them to fucking drink like that to the point where they get sick and fucking die and all of that. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I just think, you know, this, I don't like coming here. That's just all I, you know, and
yeah, certain places I don't like to be.
Like that, I don't worry about it because, you know, I mean, the way I, you know, I'm a monk.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to be bothered. I'm you remind me of my dad, and you remind me of me. I'm a lot like that. I don't like to be bothered.
You know, I you know, it's, yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, I guess I don't want to, you know, it's, how could I say it? You know, it's just that, you know, I know female nature.
Uh-huh.
And understanding female nature, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get mad at women.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I dislike women. No.
No, I don't think
not that.
I think that you're fed up.
I can have a conversation with them. I can sit, I can drink coffee. You know, but I understand female nature, and somebody asked me, and then I told him, I said, look at, you know, matter of fact, it's another buddy of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, you have to look at it like this. If I would not go over and pet a lion, because I know that if I go over and I pet a lion, I know that lion is probably going to tear my arm off. And then right after it tears my arm off, it's probably going to eat me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you tell me, don't go over there and play in that patch of grass because there's a rattlesnake over in that patch of grass.
Right.
Then I'm not going to go over it because I know that rattlesnake is going to bite me.
Right.
Okay. So why, you know, because, you know, and that is those two particular creatures, that is their nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why, understanding their nature, why would I go and do certain things, okay, only to have that nature manifest itself and have them do what they do to me?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It sounds to me,
for,
yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's in order for, you know, a woman to get, you know, if she wanted to be with me, she would have to forget certain things about her nature.
Mm-hmm.
She would have to turn it off. And she's not able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, you ever heard the one about the frog and the scorpion?
Yeah. No, not really. Take that back. No.
Okay, well, the frog, you know, is sitting on the riverbank.
Right.
Scorpion comes along. Scorpion says, Mr. Frog, you know, could you take me to the other side of that riverbank?
Right.
And the frog says, well, no, because you're a scorpion, you're going to sting me.
Right.
And he says, no, I promise I won't. He says, no, he says, you're going to sting me. He says, because if I take you across the river and, you know, and you sting me, he says, you know, we'll both drown.
Right.
He says, you'll drown, he says, but you'll drown also. You'll destroy me, but you'll destroy yourself as well.
Right.
So, no, he says, oh, I promise, you know, I won't sting you. Just, you know, just take it to the other side. You know, Frog thinks about him, and he says, well, he says, all right, if you promise not to sting me.
Right.
So the scorpion jumps on the frog's back, and they're, you know, midway through the river, or across the river, and the scorpion stings the frog.
Right.
And the frog says, looks at the scorpion and says, why did you sting me?
Mm-hmm.
He says, now I'm going to die. He says, you know, but not only am I going to die, but you're going to die. We're both going to drown.
Right.
The scorpion looks at the frog and says, well, it's my nature.
Uh-huh.
I can't help
it. A lot of that. So, that's just, I mean, the opposites are different for a reason, for a purpose. You know, women seek support because we have the kids and all. You know, it's a big fucking burden when you're pregnant, believe me. In my case, I've been psychically pregnant. When I say that, I mean it's spiritual. Because I remember the first time I got pregnant, even the second time, I think it's three. And the second one was a miscarriage. I don't think it was anything earthly, because it's hard for me to get pregnant. And I know because I slept with a lot of people and without a condom, and I could not get pregnant for the life of me, even before, like when I was ovulating. So I know it had to be something spiritual, because every time I got pregnant, I would puke up yellow bile. Not only that, but I would get big-eyed and greedy, but at the same time, I couldn't hold anything in because I would puke and piss on myself at the same time religiously. It was like whatever was in me was starving me, and I don't think it was anything earthly or human-based. And I've had sex with incubuses and dreams or nightmares, as you call it. The last time I remember when it happened, one was a man. And I remember he took the form of this little geeky-looking white guy. And nothing I would even really be attracted to be honest with you, because skinny little motherfuckers ain't my type. But he was kind of like, he told me point blank in the dream, yeah, I'm a demon. And here's the thing, you got three powerful spirits that surround you. And I thought he might have been referring to these shadow entities that I know follow me around. I've seen them motherfuckers. I even saw it with my iPad once, because your iPad's a black scribe mirror. Make a long story short, you know, I've seen, I don't think that the pregnancy, I don't think it was a regular pregnancy. I think it was something that was supernatural, because I mean, I don't know most women who piss and puke at the same time and can't keep anything down. Like literally, I could not eat. I would get big eyed and greedy and hungry and want to eat, but I couldn't. So it was something demonic. So I know I was impregnated by demonic forces. I mean, I have no other way of, you know, thinking otherwise, because in most ordinary pregnancies, the child will want to get fed, the fetus. And that wasn't the case with me. It was something else. But again, going back to the differences between men and women, males and females, men, you're programmed to want to spread your seed around with as many people as possible. And that's how we keep the human species going. There's going to be clashing because both interests are kind of like, they're in conflict. Y'all want the pussy on your own terms, but at the same time, women require a certain thing because of the risk that we take. You know, they need a supporter in the male in the home. I mean, I don't care what they say about, you know, the modern woman and she's moving towards being independent. It's hard when you're pregnant and there's nobody around to help you out. I kind of, in a sense, went through it and saw that. I mean, I never carried through with it. I had an abortion, of course, but still. So,
I just ain't doing it. I ain't putting my member in nothing.
I don't think you're, crazy. I don't think you're gay. I think the thing
I'm gonna
tell you what it is. I don't think they can read you. And so you might end up attracting a lot who they're very pretty and all, because I know this to be typical of a lot of police officers. My mother was the exception because, you know, I should have covered. I come from New Orleans and people are more spiritually conscious down there. But out here, a lot of the women in the circles that y'all have a tendency to attract, I notice, are very vapid. They're very vacuous. They're kind of like high maintenance, hoity-toity, mindless, dense, you know, kind of like stupid. There's really no substance to them. And those are the ones who have a tendency to gravitate towards you all. You know, I mean, I sit back and I observe things. I'm a student of human nature, and I like to watch people and see how people do and act and perform and how they interact with each other. It's funny, I keep calling them instead of saying us, because I'm not a part of it. But, you know, I sit back and I notice things. And I notice that those are the type of women that tends to gravitate towards you all. And those are the vast majority of the type of ladies that a lot of cops tend to get on with, because, you know, you're the, I mean, you seem like you're kind of like more the outsider type. You don't really fit the norm, because you and I wouldn't be having this conversation right now about spiritual topics and shit. So that means that there's something deeper in you, you know, that's outside the norm. But, you know, most of them prefer those types because they're not as intimidating, and they end up getting swindled and shit, and getting their shit stolen, and getting swindled for money in divorce court and all that shit. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but it's true. This is just what I observe.
It's true.
You know.
And I like I said, I just sit back and, you know, I have a nice little laugh, because I go, oh, well, there you go. They flushed another count.
Mm-hmm.
Got another one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the best person to be around is yourself. If you know yourself very well, you're the best company you can keep. You know, I'm kind of like that. I'm hyper intuitive, and so whenever something comes up, I mean, talk about things just to get it off my chest. And sometimes it helps when you get thoughts out there, because then all of a sudden, a lot of times, like, new information will come to me when I talk it out. But for the most part, I find that, you know, it's best to be introspective and to have a deep understanding of self. And, you know, because you're not going to steer yourself wrong. You know, it's kind of like when the young lady was telling me, you want to go to this spiritual work? I'm like, bitch, fuck no. Hell no. I ain't letting somebody steer my ass off. You know, I mean, like, for instance, I pulled the cards on myself on my, you know, on my cell phone, because I have like a tarot card app on my cell phone and all. I don't like to use the actual ones, because that's when you invite spirits. And when I played around with it, it said I would have a business opportunity. And sure enough, the person who I exactly sensed and everything, it ain't got nothing to do with no sex work either. It's something different. And I saw it happening. You know, I even pulled the cards. You know what? I pulled the cards on myself, because I always questioned, how would I have done in an alternate timeline had I gone to De La Salle High School? That thought obsesses the shit out of me. Now, the environment I grew up in was very rigid. You had to put on appearances when you left the home. We were kind of weird and unorthodox, because we didn't subscribe to hippo Christianity down there and all. You know, we thought different. We were independent thinkers. We were left to our own devices. But outside of that, you know, I had to have the coiffed hair, you know, when I was, you know, like the artistic type, very messy, you know, free. That's why, in a sense, I kind of, you know, I like my position, because I'm free. All I really want is a fucking car. You know, once I have a car, I could just chill in it, sleep, and then focus on my entrepreneurial things. Because as long as you have a home and stuff to worry about, that's a lot of responsibility. And you have to worry more about taking your monies that you earn and stuff and investing it into an apartment or rent that you're never going to get a return on investment on, you know, instead of being able to invest that, you know, in financial endeavors, like becoming your own boss and CEO and stuff that can make you money in the long term. That's why I just, once I get a car, I'm good, you know, so I'm happy. So to make a long story short, you know, what I was going to say, I grew up in a very rigid, conformed home, very rigid household. You had to keep up appearances. You had to act a certain way. So I threw the cards on me to see how my life would have played out in the alternate timeline. At some point, just like I'm experiencing now, I would have had to have gone through what they call death in a cocoon. Now, in a lot of shamanic societies and a lot of societies, ancient tribal societies where they have shamans and so forth, the people who are meant to become shamans, they're thrown out into the desert or something and left to their own devices. They go through a lot of hardship. That's why a lot of people are postulating that what I'm going through right now, it's a test to see how strong I am. Because, I mean, there's a reason why the entities ain't telling me, kill yourself, kill yourself. If anything, they're like, Raven, Raven, we want to talk to you, Raven. It ain't anything. Notice the difference in response as opposed to that other lady. They can't use that other lady because she's not, I mean, I have a YouTube platform and all. I have my own website. So I'm not, you know, somebody who's voiceless. And I can be used. And I know this. But, you know, people like her, on the other hand, it's like, get rid of her because she's a threat and she's not somebody who can be used. She doesn't have a strong voice, that independent spirit that really stands out. And so they pick and choose. And so to make a long story short, you know, when I drew the cards, basically the feeling that I got, it said at one point that my environment would have been like a rigid place. I always sensed that in that alternate timeline, I would have worked at a bank and I would have become a branch manager, maybe branch president. You know, nothing too big, probably like the branch manager of like, you know, a small bank down there. But I would have lived an unhappy life because I couldn't be me. And the cards were showing me that. And I would have went on a trip of...
You're in the corporate world. You're in the corporate world. And in the corporate world, you always got to kiss ass.
Yes. And that's not me. And it was showing that I was going to get into a lot of arguments, combative, you know, probably file like, you know, sexual harassment complaints because of shit that I noticed that are iniquities that bothers me, racial discrimination, call people out on this shit. That's just in me. And at some point I would have disintegrated in the matrix. I would have lost my job and everything, possibly even home. But I would have taken up with a guy who helped me see into that side of myself so that I can be free. I would have been one of those people, you know how like you come across middle-aged people who go on that quest to find themselves? Well, I would have been at the same point. I would have been starting on a journey at the same point where I am right now. One thing I have going for me is that I'm free. I'm not constrained by anything. And I appreciate that. I like that. Because when you're constrained by the matrix, you have to say what they want you to say. You have to obey and think what they want you to think. I'm not like that. That's never been in me. And I'm not constrained by anything. I can say whatever the fuck I want. I can say whatever comes to my mind, you know, because I mean, I'm practically, in a sense, my own boss. You know, I mean, yeah, I'm fucking homeless. I live in a shelter, but I don't need people's validation to make me feel whole and make me feel good. Okay. Yeah. Physically in the matrix, that's where I'm at. But that doesn't still change my level of consciousness. It doesn't take away from my intelligence. And I know this. It doesn't take away my strong spirit. If anything, it makes me stronger. Mm-hmm. And they realize, you know, that can't be broken. So I look at it like this. I'm actually happy to be in this timeline, suffice it to say, because in that timeline, I would have started on the very same journey that is about to end right now, where I've already gone through the whole mechanisms of self-discovery. In a sense, sex work kind of helped that because I'm like, okay, I'm already excluded and outcast in society. Fuck these people and fuck what they have to say and fuck what they think. And then over time, I accumulated a self-knowledge and understanding, I guess you could say, of how people operate and how they think. So what they have to say doesn't bother me because I know most people fall into two categories. You got followers and you got leaders. Most people are followers. I don't respect what a follower thinks because I'm above that. I may not be a wealthy CEO, but I live life on my own terms. And that's something that's something you can't take away from me.
See, and when you live life on your own terms, a lot of people envy you.
Yes, that's what's going on. That's what's going on.
You know, they're not willing to give up the, you know,
their comforts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, the stability.
I want
to
do that.
See, in that alternate timeline, I would have ended up giving up that stability. I would have lost that president job. I would have became fucking poor, but I would have had like a love interest who would have helped me rediscover myself. So, I mean, nonetheless, I'm happy to be here. That's why I don't go to like other spiritual workers. You know, when that girl was telling me, oh, go to this tarot card reader. I'm like, the other one led me astray. The other one was like, I see the sun in your reading. You're going to do well at that place, you know, downtown. And turns out it was a fucking scam, you know, where they booted me out because they wanted more money. And really, okay, when you pull up the sun in tarot card readings, what that really means is you reveal everything. You tell all. That doesn't mean anything about no fucking beach and all that shit. That just means you tell all. And the funny thing, I'm going to tell you something right now that scares the living shit out of me. In both readings, in both timelines, in this one as well as that, it cited that the devil would be the person to come across that I would come into contact with who was going to make the change that I needed. Like, it almost reminds me of the ending of The Devil's Advocate. Remember at one point he shot himself, Keanu Reeves, and then he came back. Mm-hmm. And like, no matter what timeline he existed in, he would have to contact the devil. I just saw something right now. That's the feeling that I get. And I was told by a tarot card reader a while back that that's who's been trying to recruit me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't doubt it.
Yeah. That's what I said. You're constantly, and that's what I meant when I said they don't want to let you go.
Exactly. Because I've been having dreams about that. I've been having dreams.
They fight hard.
Yeah, they don't fucking play.
They don't want to let you go. Yeah.
They don't play. I'm telling you, they don't fucking play.
I mean, I was looking at stuff where people were, you know, had gotten into it with, you know, demons and stuff, and they ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, they see a lot of shit. I mean, trust me and believe when I say this, I saw that other side.
Physically hurt. Where, they end up in the hospital.
I'm going to tell you why. It's because they're not useful. Here's the thing. A lot of times these deities, these entities have to come to you. They must come to you. Right. When people try to go to them, especially like these silly ass white kids who don't know any better, they have a very childlike understanding of the occult. They just think, oh, based on the Bible, you know, story and all that, Satan is this. And therefore, you know, he's been rejected and beaten up and trampled on by God and all of this. They go with that, but they don't understand how the real world of the jinn and demons actually operate. The Kabbalah talks about it. That's why King Solomon wore a fucking ring and controlled their asses. And that's why Haiti and New Orleans has so much bad fucking luck. My dad used to come home and complain about it because they practice a lot of that voodoo. So what happens a lot of times is that they start dabbling in there and they're like, I want to be evil or some silly shit. Well, them demons realize this person ain't useful. Let me go ahead and fuck with their head. And that's when you start hearing about these people being taken over and overly possessed to the point where they can't get their soul back. Or, you know, they go on killing sprees and all of that because them demons are like, okay, bitch, I'm going to fuck with you. You want to come at me like that? And I didn't even choose your ass from the get-go in the beginning. I'm going to fuck with you. And that's when they induce them to commit all the murders and shit. Mm-hmm. Just to fuck with them and fuck up their shit, fuck up their life.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get them locked up.
Uh-huh. Because they weren't useful. They're like, I'm going to fuck up your life. You ain't somebody significant. So let me go ahead and have your body, have you do something that you're not going to remember doing, and then come out you. And next thing you know, they do that awful ass shit. Or like you say, they experience horrible ass hallucinations that sends them to the fucking mental hospital. That's another thing.
Messing around.
No, that world ain't nothing to fuck with.
They don't understand. So, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. Let me show you something. Real quick.
Yeah. They
well,
fucked
no, I didn't, no. No, I didn't. No. Don't holler now.
Mm-mm.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. That's how they are. And they don't show them any mercy. Mm-hmm. They don't show them any mercy, and they end up leading them to straight up like self ruin. I mean, for instance, when I fucked around with that world, I got like $3,000. You know, at least for a month, like it kept me afloat. And that's before I was like ready to become homeless. It kept me afloat up until like the proper time in which, you know, now it's just kind of like that time. It's like what I'm saying is, you know, I feel like I'm going through the ritual process of death in the cocoon. I feel like I'm going to come out victorious out of this, but it's going to be, you know, it was just one thing from the next. And I had to be here. I had to be at this shelter at some point. You know, to test me out and see, you know, hey, how does she do? As a matter of fact, I just saw like a glowing disc right now. I'm not fucking lying. A glowing green disc just right now, because I can see the other side very well. But it's like, you know, let's test her to see how strong she is. And, you know, once I, you know, get out of this and become very successful, because it's like, okay, I'm all the way at rock bottom. So, you know, nothing can hold me back. It's like, you know, what the fuck else can you do to me?
Yeah.
You know, it's at that point. I mean, you took away my car, you took away a lot of shit. So, damn. So they have you posted outside a strip club.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be here till 3:00.
Oh, damn. That's 3 a.m. That's the devil's time.
Well, it won't be for me because, you know, I said, I've been doing this for a minute, you know, so I really don't put up with a lot of stuff, so.
No, you could catch shit right away. That's one thing I admire about a lot of you. Y'all are hyper-intuitive more so than the regular average population. Most people aren't as intuitive as you all are, or see things like,
I mean,
you
know. I've had to choke some people out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
And drag them right across the parking lot. That's embarrassing, you know, for a grown man, unconscious. I drag his ass right across the parking lot, right out onto the sidewalk. And leave
there.
Him there.
Damn.
I got one who, like, you know, I think I choked him out last month. You know? He like, you know, he likes to come up here, you know, which I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you know, don't, you know, I like. Now, if I do an assignment for someone, you know, I like it to be nice, quiet. Let me just come in here and do my time.
Mm-hmm. And then get the fuck out.
Yeah, and that's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, you can come back tomorrow. I'll be doing something else tomorrow.
Right.
And it's all good. You know?
Right.
But, you know, every now and then, they want them to come up here and, you know, they like to drink.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, because I understand it's a bar. You know, they want to drink. Go ahead and drink.
Right.
Then they let that N word just.
Oh, no. No. You need to put them in fucking
really?
Check.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-mm.
So,
no.
Yeah, they get choked out, and, you know, so far.
And,
you know,
and that's their true self coming out. Or maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fastest guy I choked out, I beat my record. I had 5 seconds. I got, like I said, a month and a half ago, I choked a guy. I got him out. He was out in about four and a half seconds.
See, people think that because of the job that you do, this is why I couldn't work in no custom service or jobs where people can hold shit over my fucking head. I have to be my own boss. See, I couldn't put up with that fucking shit because, I mean, you think that you could say whatever the fuck you want to me. It's hard to
mm-hmm.
not take that shit personal. They're attacking you because they feel like I can get away with it. They wouldn't say that to the fucking MS-13, Mara Salvatrucha, whatever the fuck they call themselves, on the fucking street.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll fuck with you because they know that you're bound by laws. By which you have
mm-hmm.
to be constrained to, and therefore, if you do something
well,
that's,
see, I'm
mm-hmm.
like Shaft now,
mm-hmm.
I'm
and,
like
and you should
now.
Be,
you know,
because
you know, Shaft told me,
yes, mm-hmm.
ain't no rules now.
you have to be like that because I'm gonna tell you something from my own personal experiences. That's why I say when people complain, "Oh, Raven, she a hellraiser, she crazy," but you know what? I don't have a lot of the problems that a lot of people have because I speak up. That's why I look younger than my fucking age, because I get a lot of that shit off of me. See, when you don't deal with a problem like you should at the time, that shit festers. And it festers
mm-hmm.
in your psyche and it starts to fuck with you. It starts to fuck you up. You got to get that energy out. That's that negative ass energy. You got to put it back on that person. All that, well, do some meditation, some yoga. No, because at the end of the day, some people need to be taught a lesson. And sometimes you're the person who are put there who's designed to teach them that lesson.
Well, they get it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll beat you like I was your daddy.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'll happen. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
You have to fight back. You can't put up with their shit. You know, I mean, because like I said, you end up taking on that person's energy. That energy ends up fucking you up and stuff deep down inside. It ends up tearing you up. That's one of the compromises to me that happens when you work in a regular working world. That's why I'm like, I'm so fucking free and I'm so used to being free now. I just, it's like trying to constrain a free roaming horse who's been roaming around free for quite some time. And like, I mean, especially to demeaningly call you the fucking N word. Like, that's a royal fucking trigger. You know?
I used to see, here's the thing. What I learned is, yeah, they like to call you that.
Mm hmm.
But here's what gets me, is when you start laughing at them.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And when you start laughing at them, that pisses them off even more.
Because they can't get to you emotionally.
Yeah, they can't. And they'll see, the next thing that happens is they make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when they make that mistake,
you can legally roll in and then take their asses like a motherfucker.
Oh, boy. women realize, you know, from the get-go, the second they start, they're already being set up.
Uh-huh.
They're already being set up.
Right.
I'm just, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for them to screw up.
Right. And they don't see it coming.
Mm-mm. They don't.
Mm-mm.
See, and that's the beauty of it.
Right.
I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. It's,
but you know, you have every right to defend yourself. You have every right to defend your inner child. My mother called it my inner child. You got every right to defend your psyche from psychic attacks like that, because that's a form of psychic attack. That's what the fuck that shit is. And that's wrong. It's a bullying tactic on their part. That's why I stopped that cop watching shit, because I realized that when I was doing that shit, I was actually enabling people who should have a fear of the fucking cops and all. I was enabling them in the sense to feel like, yeah, you can feel free to disrespect the cops and all that, la, 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 and educating them on stuff that if later on, if I became the victim, they'd use against not just me, but the cops as well. I learned that. That's why I don't do that altruistic shit. I'm more into self-reflection. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Look at Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Perfect example of what
Chicago it's all fucked up.
Chicago. I said, look at Chicago for a minute. There's a perfect example of what you're talking about right there.
Mm-hmm.
Police, you know, I'm not saying they weren't wrong for whatever they did. I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. because I don't live there.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the Chicago PD, they got attacked so much, okay, that they literally just said, okay, you know what? Don't do anything.
Wow. Okay. And that makes
you got
sense.
A record, you got a record number of homicides in Chicago. I don't know if you've been keeping up, but you got a record number of homicides in Chicago, you know, I think on Christmas Day. They hit 700.
Maybe, I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah.
And they hit 700 homicides. I mean, you know, pick up the news and you can read about the homicides. I mean, they are just going buck wild.
Yeah, it's crazy up there. It's crazy over there. I heard about that. Yeah. I heard like the record number of fucking homicides up there is fucking crazy. Another thing that pisses me off is this is what they're doing in New Orleans now. They're making a request that you have to live in Orleans Parish, which really nobody wants to fucking do and all, in order to register up with the NOPD, thereby by excluding a lot of capable candidates by doing that.
Yeah.
That fucking police department is full of criminals now. No, hell no. Why did the LAPD go down? Has the LAPD gone down, and why has it gone down?
The LAPD has gone down basically because you have a lot of there's some racism within the department.
Yeah, I could tell.
There's mismanagement within the department. There's
mm-hmm.
cronyism.
Yes, I've seen it.
And when they have bad officers, it seems like the bad officers they tend to keep, and the good officers they tend to get rid of.
And that's fucked up.
Okay? And they fire more minority officers than they do white officers.
Yes.
That's a dirty little secret.
Another thing that I noticed too is that I don't care what station, they tend to have like the whites in the higher up positions. I noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
The only time that I've seen a lot of, and this is kind of cool too, a lot of blacks who are in the higher positions was at the Wilshire Division. That's the one that's in the evil neighborhood that I call the evil neighborhood with all that weird ass energy. They're weird too.
Yeah.
It's something about that whole area spiritually, but that's the only time I've seen like a lot of black officers be posited and served in a lot of positions, like high up positions who actually ran it. Why do they have it like that? Why do they have it like that though? Because I noticed like the white boys are typically, they tend to, you see them more in like the poor areas, like the poor minority areas. Why is that? I think it's because the white boys want to have free range to want to beat up black people's asses. That's my deduction. But go ahead.
I'll tell you, you know, look. You know, your purpose, you know, I always look at your purpose to being a police officer is to be to help people, you know, when they needed help and things like that. And I looked at it when I went out on patrol, any night that I didn't get a radio call or something like that,
mm-hmm.
that was a good night. Because what that told me is that somebody was not screwing with someone else, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In order for them to, you know, have to call the police for whatever reason. Somebody wasn't getting screwed with. In other words, some human being someplace was not fucking with another human being someplace else.
Yeah.
Okay. So to me, that was a good night.
Mm-hmm.
But you have certain people on the department that aren't satisfied. It's a slow night. There's no action unless somebody's gotten shot, stabbed, knocked over the head, raped, whatever.
They're energy vampires.
Or some fucking perverse thing has happened. If something like that doesn't happen, you know, oh, that's a slow night.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's a slow night.
Yeah.
You know, you let a shooting call come out here, the whole fucking division lets you go. Because everybody's hoping, oh, we can get some trigger time. Maybe the guy's still there.
Right.
You know, just stupid stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to hate it when... I used to hate it when it's time to already go into watch.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, you get that tone that comes over the radio, three tone, beep, beep, beep. And you go, ah, shit.
And that usually indicates murder?
It's something serious. Either attack in progress, which means rape.
Oh, man.
Or it's a robbery, you know. But always, when you get the last-minute call, it's always a rape. What happened?
Damn.
Well, I was doing this, and I was like, well, you know, you were over here, yeah. Well, let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. I ain't saying this shit happened to you. So why were you walking down the street with a skirt that was barely below your crotch on this dark street?
But don't blame the victim.
With high heels, man. You know, I mean, why would you do that?
Standing.
Why would you put yourself in that position? It's like, okay, it's like one of the things, you know, about being retired now, so is,
yeah,
I get to carry.
I thought I just saw a spaceship.
Yeah, you know, I get to carry a gun. Okay.
You can't
get to carry a gun doesn't mean that I'm gonna find every dark alley or something.
Can't blame the victim. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I walked around topless.
I'm not saying blame the victim, but you know what? We'll put it like this. What I've seen over my 20 years, that there are givers and takers. Okay? Givers, takers, and volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
There really aren't any victims. Victims, you know, I would say it's maybe about 2%. Maybe mm-hmm. even 1%.
Yeah.
Righteous victim. You know, guys just, you know, just walking down the street and something just happens. Okay? But today's generation, you know, and that's men and women, you know. Well,
here's
the
thing.
Why did you do that?
I haven't overstand enough things. And I think that you're coming at it from an old school point of view about women and our bodies. Here's the thing. I know that most people ain't involved.
Just
human beings in general
are
fucking
stupid.
I just
use that as an example.
I hate humans.
I just use that as an example.
That's
you know,
it.
There's guys who sit up here and they'll leave shit out on the car seat.
Mm-hmm.
No one said if they tell them, hey, don't leave stuff on the car seat. Because if you leave it on the car seat, this is what's going to happen. And
mm-hmm.
next thing you know, they come up and say, hey, what happened? My car just got broken into. They took my wallet. They took my, you know, they took this and that. Well, where did you have stuff? Well, I had it right there on the seat. Well, didn't they tell you
God bless. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, didn't they tell you to lock your doors on your car? Yeah. Well, I came home and, you know, my place had been burglarizing it. Okay, well, when did you leave? Well, I left this morning. Did you lock the door? Well, no, I didn't lock the door because it's a pretty quiet neighborhood. And, you didn't lock the door, you know.
You can't compare property to a woman and to our bodies. You can't. I mean, that shows like
towards
objectification. It's objectifying. See, here's the thing. I know that most people ain't fucking evolved in general. Most human beings are not evolved. That's it. Hold on a sec. Did I just see a fucking UFO? Hold on. Did I just see? I swear I just saw a UFO. I'm always seeing like little weird shit. But like I was saying before, as I'm looking to spot, see if I spot that shit again. But the thing is that you can't hold the female victim. Here's the thing. I mean, there was a time where if a woman brandished her legs, like in certain Middle Eastern countries, she's blamed for stuff that happens. Rape, and I can tell you this for a fact as well, it's about power. It's about having power over that victim. It's not about anything sexual. They're looking to have power over the nearest, closest thing that they feel won't show
Well,
contention, won't act as competition.
that I would have to beg to differ for a little bit, because I've ended up
Is
hooking up
that
some of
your
those guys that just say, "No, I was just looking. I was just looking. And forgive me for saying it. Forgive my friend. No, I just wanted some pussy."
No,
And I go, "What?" Yeah, I said, "Okay, thanks.
well, I
Yeah,
mean,
thanks for telling me that." And
it's no different than with robbery. A lot of people
I
report
put that
that.
in the arrest report.
A lot of people that report the psych, because most people don't think that deep. Most people ain't even introspective, so they don't even know why the fuck they did what they did. But it's like with robbery. Like a lot of times, like people will say that with robbers, they'll go out and they'll rob and do all sorts of crazy ass shit. But really, the psychology behind that is it's a form of domination. Like, let's see if I can get away with taking this. It's the same thing with rape. It's about, let me see if I can take that. It's the same thing with murder. Murder is about, let me see if I can take a life. Because they really have no security in themselves. They're not secure people. They don't, huh, I said, because I'm looking, I saw UFO again. I'm always able to see him. Bobby Hemmett talks a lot about that, UFOs, how they come to certain people and all. But anyways, as I was saying before, it's about domination. It's about domination. It's about, because they wouldn't fuck with some woman. Like if there's a female for hint here, for instance, she a big ass motherfucker. She got some guns on her. He wouldn't fuck with that because he knows that she'll put up a fucking fight. But they go towards the path of least resistance because it's a way for them to, how do I say this? It's a way for them to feel like they got some control by going after somebody. I can't find the right words for this. Going after somebody who they know is not a threat, who's physically not able to put up a fight. It's the same thing with child molesters. I mean, would you say that because it's actually coming out, it's been proven by psychologists that you got some people who can't help their age of attraction. So would you blame a
Exactly.
child? Would you blame a child for why some shit, happened because you got sick motherfuckers out here who prey and are attracted to kids? Because you got people who are born that way. It's fucked up. I think they ought to be killed, but still.
I think they ought to be castrated.
I think so too. I mean, I the other day I saw like a little, little kid who was all nice and being nice to me and stuff, and I'm like, I couldn't imagine seeing that child in a sexual fucking state. I mean, you gotta be a sick motherfucker to do so.
With no anesthetic or general anesthesia.
Exactly. So I
Yeah.
mean, if you look at it from that framework, from that frame of mind, from that point of view, it's the same thing with rape. You can't blame the fucking woman or the man who gets raped because, oh, the opportunity presents itself. With a lot of those people, again, it's going after what is the path of least resistance. And just like pedophiles who are attracted to children, and you don't blame the child victim for why they did this and that, for why they're out there, because it's understood in our society and accepted. Children are not sexual beings. Same thing with females. I mean, at the end of the day, we wear our clothing as functions of the environment that we're in, like the climate. Clothing wasn't designed to, impose morals and moral values and shit on people. It wasn't designed for that purpose. That's some Western society
Well,
concoction there.
I always remember that one show, Arsenio Hall. He had some guest he was interviewing, and she came out, and somehow the conversation got around to her skirt. And I remember Arsenio Hall looking at her and saying, "That's not a skirt, that's a belt."
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong. I mean, but like for instance, you don't hear about no rape going on in African tribal societies where, people are half naked. They're half naked as a function of their environment. A lot of that has to do with hypocristianity and attitudes and mores, you know, towards women. That's why I'm, in a sense, I embrace the whole gay rights movement, because they're coming out and they're changing all of that shit. Like, you know, you can't put women into this category and men into this category here. And, you know, you got to be this way. And women's bodies got to be looked at like that. They've brought about a revolution that changes how people see things and see our bodies and stuff, how we see ourselves as human beings. In a sense, they're helping us to evolve to the next step of evolution. And a lot of that comes from how we see gender and how we see women and all of that. Like, for instance, I'm very good at working on cars. I'm extremely good at working on cars, and nobody can take that away from me. And, you know, you get a lot of people who might be like, well, she shouldn't have that ability simply because she's a woman. She's a female. And they'll want me to not have that simply because of that fact alone. And I think it's, you know, mad fucked up. And then you got people out here who are like, you know, hey, you know, she's my type because she's skinny. No, that doesn't entitle you to the right to touch me or do anything. That's why I speak up. You know, I know that I'm higher evolved than where most people are at. I don't mean to toot my own horn or boast, but I have an understanding of things that most people don't have, and a way of seeing things that most people don't. That's why I don't bother anymore explaining my point of view to most people unless they already get it. But, you know, returning back to it, it's, you know, I feel like things are changing because, see, we're in the age of Aquarius. So we're entering a new era. That's, you know, that's why you have a lot of people getting involved in witchcraft. A lot of that has to do with the female energy, the feminine. Women are highly intuitive and they have access to that realm. So the power is becoming switched more and more towards the female dynamic. And there's going to be sort of like an equilibrium, like they're supposed to, you know, more of an era of peace. That's why, you know, when you were saying that men are becoming more feminine, there's a reason for it. I think it's a good thing, because that means that they're not going to be as aggressive and threatening and try to attack you. You know, all of that testosterone, I got to bully and dominate the woman and all that stupid shit. A lot of that stereotypes, not all men are built like that. Like, I'm the fighter. My little brother, Kristen, he's the opposite. I always had to defend him. You know, so I mean, he's a male and I'm a female, but I've always had that warrior fighter spirit. He doesn't have that. Some people, it's, you know, I mean, it goes back to past lives. For instance, when I did a tarot card reading with regards to past lives, I was told that in all my incarnations, this is my first incarnation on Earth. All of my other incarnations, I lived on different planets. And she was saying how, like, in some of my past lives, I was a reptilian, which I think is true, because I actually saw my soul once, or a part of it, one aspect of it. In another one, she said that I was like white, like really fucking white, and I hated humans. And that's actually kind of true. I don't like people. I never liked people. Ever since I was a kid, I've always hated people. I think they're stupid. I have a disdain for humanity. I'm not going to lie. Because you try to educate these people, they don't want to hear it. It feels pointless. That's why I'm, in a sense, suffering. Because I'm a sacrifice and I made myself one. So that's how I feel. You know, trying to get people to see certain things, and most people can't. It's frustrating. And then having them same idiots try to call themselves schooling you because you're not part of the matrix. So I got to school you and tell. I'm like, do not, dude. There's shit around me that, you try to tell me what to do, it will attack you. That's what happened with that tarot card reader. I solicited her advice. Next thing I know, she got all sorts of bad luck because I took it. Horrible advice. I mean, horrible ass fucking luck. Horrible luck, she told me. So, you know, that's why you can't really mess around with a lot of stuff like that. That's why I don't take anybody's advice but my own when it comes down to what I should do in my journey while I'm here. But yeah, I can imagine y'all come across a lot of crazy ass shit while y'all doing what y'all doing. Oh shit, sit down for a bit. My fucking back is killing me. Whew.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go sit down here in a minute. I'm gonna have to get off this phone.
Yeah, me too.
I'm gonna have to go over here.
I gotta go pee.
Do my thing.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, man. Take care.
Good talking to you.
Good talking with you too.
But I'm always around.
Yeah, me too. Oh, I thought that was a penny.
They'll come 3 a.m. and get my ass out of here.
I can't blame you. Oh man, I can't wait till I have the ability to be able to get my car so I can be in my car. I mean, it's just fucked up. It's like one thing after another. It just doesn't stop. So,
just remember, trying to break.
Right. Well, I'm still here, so.
All right.
Let me go ahead and charge my phone. All right, man. Take care. Bye.